Terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law.
When should I begin taking Social Security? What should I invest in today? And when should I look at making changes? What should I do with my 401k if I change jobs?
Hello, I'm Mo Ansari, host of Market Wrap and president of Compaq Asset Management. These are just some of the questions we are asked on a regular basis, and the answers are different for each and every one of you. That's why at Compaq Asset Management, we take a holistic approach to wealth management, which means taking the time to get to know you, your lifestyle, and your goals to better invest your money now and make a plan for your future. Call Compaq Asset Management at 800-388-9700 and make an appointment to meet with me personally for a free portfolio review and answers to your specific financial questions. That's 1-800-388-9700, 1-800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor, funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, everybody. Ray Lucia here, inviting you to join me for the one talk show in America designed to help you make better money moves. Get strategies and solutions to help you manage your most important financial decisions and the latest from Washington and Wall Street. It's the Ray Lucia Show, weekday mornings at 8 on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Brought to you by Pipeline Oil and Gas. Get in on the modern-day oil boom. Schedule an appointment today, 602-620-8272.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor. Good afternoon, Arizona. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Kerry Bordinko, board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the best information in health care and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and health care experts. To join the show, call 602-324-1510. That's 602-324-1510. Or outside the Phoenix area, 1-800-293-5366. That's 1-800-293-KFNN. Now it's time for Doctor Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay White and Dr. Bordinko.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another edition of your Saturday Doctor Talk here on Money Talk Radio. We have a great guest here today, Dr. Victor Krebs, joining us from the Cleveland Clinic. And we have some questions we're going to try and drill down on regarding joint replacements and joint revisions. So I think this is a topic a lot of listeners will want to know more about, probably have some questions they've been wanting to ask for a while. And now we have the expert in the studio that you can call in and ask. So just to remind you, for Dr. Barclay White and myself, the call-in number is 602-324-1510. Or if you're outside the Phoenix Valley, call 1-800-293-5366. We'll be taking your calls for the next hour. So, hi, Dr. Krebs. How are you doing today?
Hi, great. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Welcome. I'm very impressed that you came out here in August.
It's actually quite nice.
So, thank you for toughing through our probably worst month in the Phoenix Valley. But let me tell our listeners a little bit about Dr. Krebs and where he trained and how he came to be one of the national experts in really joint revision surgery and joint replacement surgery. So Dr. Krebs completed his undergrad at Ohio State. He went on to complete his residency in orthopedic surgery at the Cleveland Clinic, and then he did joint replacement fellowship training at New England Baptist Hospital. He's been on staff at the Cleveland Clinic since 1998 at their main campus, and he is actually the head of joint replacement and the vice chair of the department for joint replacement surgery. So once again, impressive resume. Thanks for taking the time to come and take some calls from our callers today. We're going to lead off with a really basic question. Why do people need joint replacements?
That's most people who need them know, but for those who don't or are wondering if they need a joint replacement, it's related to arthritis and wear and tear of the hip and knee joints. So if you've worn your hip and knee out, either from work-related injuries, just general arthritis or inflammatory disease, your hips or knees will wear out to the point that you're uncomfortable walking, moving, and doing normal activities of daily living. And when those joints are in the way of your normal lifestyle, that's when you need a joint replacement.
Is there an increase in joint replacement surgery going on in the U.S.? Do you think it's changing because of our busy lifestyles, because of technology, awareness? What's the changing dynamic there?
There's actually an exponential growth in joint replacement, and there's been a lot of national epidemiologic studies done on that to show that the need for joint replacements increasing based on the age of our population, people getting older and staying active longer. We have a problem with obesity and too much weight on the joints, injuries. So the joint replacement needs are increasing significantly, more so in the knees than the hips, but definitely increasing.
So how long do joint replacements last? I mean, several years ago, we were talking about maybe 5 to 10 years, but lately, it seems to be revised upwards. Is that because we're getting better at it?
There's a number of factors that come into play with the longevity of a joint replacement. When these started out probably 40, 45 years ago, the materials that we used were very different than what we have today. There's been a lot of science put into the material side of it and also how the joint replacements are put in. In this day and age, it's a very, very set way to get the joint replacement parts in. And the designs have changed and have actually been looked at carefully and designed so that they don't wear as fast. So when you say that joint replacements in the past, people were given the 5 to 10 year range on these, I would say that that's definitely increased, and we have data to show that joint replacements are lasting 20 to 25 and even 30 years in laboratory studies.
That's pretty impressive. So when you actually look at the European numbers and New Zealand, they've been keeping a registry of, you know, incidences, how many they're doing, and looking more at the long-term effects. Do we have a similar registry in this country?
Unfortunately, we have not gotten to the point where we have a national joint registry, and there is a large group of orthopedic surgeons, including the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, that is trying to establish a U.S. joint replacement registry. We've made great strides in that, but at this point, we are not logging all of our joint replacements into a registry like the Swedish registry, the
right.
Australian. We just haven't gotten there. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
Right. But when you actually look at the Swedish data, it is getting better and better. It's actually very impressive, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we use the Swedish registries and the Australian registries to look at the track record of different implants. And actually, the registries will give us ideas when we're having problems with specific designs.
Does it matter, you know, as a surgeon who's in the OR, you're trying to decide what's the best hardware? I'm just going to use kind of a general term here, hardware, to pick. Are there big outcome differences by what you select as the surgeon? Maybe I'm asking the question wrong, but how much variability is there in the surgeon's world? Maybe that's how I want to ask this question. In the piece that you pick and choose to put in somebody and the outcomes as far as if it's going to last 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20. And I think that's where we're going back to the registry question. But is that something that a consumer should be concerned about? What piece are you putting in? I'm trying to help educate the listeners here to say, should they be asking the question, what piece are you selecting for me? Should they drill down to that level, or is that too much?
The there's some difficulties with that. And in my practice, I have people come in with a page printed off the internet that says, I want this knee replacement.
Right, because everything's available on the internet.
Right. I mean, the information that's available to the patient and the consumer is unbelievable. And a lot of the information is good. Some of the information is bad. And the thing that's important is the major joint replacement companies who make the implants, they have all used data to design and develop what we have now. And I would say that the implant differences were greater 15 years ago than they are now. A lot of the knee replacement designs and hip replacement designs have kind of coned down to something a lot more similar. So the actual implant that you get right now from any manufacturer is going to be outstanding, and it's going to have great data behind it.
Okay, that really, I mean, I think you answered it well.
Yes.
It was a long question. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
So going into, we're going to be going to break here pretty soon, but coming back into the next segment, a topic that I think a lot of people want to know is, how do you know when it's your time? What are some of the signs and symptoms that you can help us as an orthopedic surgeon to identify when I should send my patients to you?
Oh, we will definitely touch on that after the break.
How much is your health worth? At Consulari Personal Physician Services, we offer an alternative to the traditional business model of the medical practice. Hi, I'm Dr. Carrie Bordinko, and I'm a personal physician and board-certified internist. And I've chosen to build my practice around only working with a limited number of patients so that I get to know you on a personal basis and understand your unique health needs. It's like having a physician in the family. Consulari is a private health advisor that is not tied to a single medical institution or network of doctors. So we truly have an unbiased approach to working for you and addressing your most important medical needs. Go to consularimd.com to learn more about us. That's consularimd.com. Our dedication to you and your health is what sets us apart from any other healthcare provider you will ever experience. That is the Consulari difference.
Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600 for an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the show, call 602-324-1510 or outside the Phoenix area, 1-800-293-5366. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Money Radio. Please remember, this is a call-in show, so this is an opportunity to call in with your questions about joint replacements, to ask our expert without sitting in the waiting room and without having to give a copay or pull out that insurance card. So please, if you have any questions regarding joint replacements, joint revisions, please give us a call at 602-324-1510 or outside Arizona, 1-800-293-5366.
So I'm going to ask the next question. As a treating internist, I see patients in the office every day, and it's always challenging to figure out what is that optimal time to make the referral over to orthopedic surgery and to start having that discussion with them about a total joint replacement. There's symptoms that can drive us to that. You know, there's pain management issues that obviously do. Some people just become completely unable to do activities of daily living. They were golfing. They can't golf. They can't hike. Whatever that is. But as the surgeon who's receiving that referral from an internal medicine or family practitioner, when do you like to see them? Can we get them to you too early? Or do you say, gosh, I wish these doctors were sending them over earlier. I could have made a bigger difference.
I mean, everyone's different in the time that they need to see the orthopedic surgeon. And I think the key is that the problem is identified, and the identification of the problem is different on the hip than it is the knee. So if you are limited by pain in the groin, inability to move your leg, put shoes and socks on, trim your toenails, you probably have something going on with your hip. A lot of people come into the office and they complain of lateral hip pain or pain on the side of the leg, and that's more of a bursitis pain, and that has nothing to do with the actual joint or a joint replacement. So sometimes just knowing those symptoms can change when you would come in. On the knee, it's different because the knee is a more peripheral or joint away from the body, and it's in a smaller space. So the knee joint, when it starts to go bad, will actually swell. It will catch, it will lock, it will grind, it'll keep you from getting up and out of a chair, difficulty going up and down stairs. And the biggest complaint with a knee joint, people will just not be able to move or walk distances, where they can still get around with a hip, but they have these symptoms that get in the way. So the first thing is identifying one of those symptoms. And people tolerate different levels of arthritis in both joints. So somebody can have really, really worn out joints, and they may not need a joint replacement. A lot of people need to be taken through the conservative non-surgical treatments, anti-inflammatory medications if they're able to. Physical therapy can be incredibly helpful. And there's a number of different non-surgical modalities that we can apply either through primary care or through orthopedics that can help you get along with your arthritis. The real time that the joint surgeon comes into play is when it gets in the way so much that you're, you know, arranging your life around your joint problem. So if you are planning to go shopping one day and you're like, I cannot do this because I know I'm not going to get around, that's when it starts to get in the way. And that's a good time to come in, get an evaluation, have x-rays done, and have us give you an opinion. If you come in, you don't have to have a surgery. It's just an assessment of where you are and what the possibilities are. So there's a lot of good times to get in.
Yeah, and I think that's a fear of a lot of people. If I go see a surgeon, they only know to do one thing, and that's to cut. And they don't realize, I know that's a bad thing to say, but they don't realize that the surgeon is really there to be part of the team and to help advise, like you said, the primary care doctor to say, it's not time yet, but try some of these different conservative treatment options. Let's see if we can get the function up. And also, you may want me as an internist to kind of fine-tune some of the other parts of the body, too, so that they're a much better surgical candidate, maybe through some weight loss or putting them in a better cardiac state before you take them on the table as well, I'm sure. I have another question for you, and this comes up a lot. I get this question from patients, is do I need to have an MRI scan before I go see my surgeon? How much do you rely on, as the surgeon, that MRI scan of the hip, of the knee? I know you don't really do a lot of shoulders, but does it give you all the information you need, or is it something that the physical exam and spending time talking with you, asking the patient the history, is that more valuable than the imaging technique?
Actually, for joint replacement surgery, the most important thing is a good plain X-ray. So a plain X-ray will show us exactly what we need if a joint replacement is required. An MRI is more geared towards looking at the soft tissues, the ligaments, the tendons around the knee and the hip, a meniscal tear, evidence of kneecap arthritis, and I actually sometimes think that the MRI may be done too often when people are being evaluated for a joint replacement. If someone comes to me with an MRI only and never had a set of plain x-rays, that raises my eyebrows. So I think a good plain film is the best place to start, and then the MRI is used for defining, you know, higher detail if necessary, and looking for other processes like avascular necrosis.
Actually, as an imager, MRI doesn't really identify the degenerative changes because it doesn't see bone. Bone is a void on MRI. So actually what we're looking for are the degenerative changes, which are bone and calcium, and it actually doesn't see that. So Dr. Krebs is spot on. I mean, it actually isn't helpful at all for degenerative arthritis. So it's a big surgery, though, right?
It is a very big surgery, and unfortunately, I think society and the internet have downplayed the extent of a joint replacement surgery, despite the fact that we're getting people through this in and out of the hospital faster. It is still a major procedure. And for healthier individuals that are not deconditioned, it's something that they can get through and be home in a day or two. For somebody that has a lot of medical issues, diabetes, obesity, kidney disease, liver disease, heart problems, this is a big shock to the system, and it needs to be looked at carefully, and we need to take care of those patients more on the hospital side than the patients who are healthier.
But it is still one of the most beneficial surgeries we do, correct?
Oh,
That's what I tell patients when they ask me about it.
Absolutely. If you look at the number of work days regained with someone getting a joint replacement, the number of people that get back to an active lifestyle, able to exercise, do a cardio workout, it has definitely made a huge change in society in getting people back up on their feet and living a high-quality life rather than managing or trying to get around on a joint that hurts. In the past, people ended up in wheelchairs. Now somebody that has a bad joint problem can have a replacement, go through the rehab and recovery, and get back to their normal activities.
And, you know, that makes my job a lot easier as an internist when I'm trying to constantly encourage ideal body weight, good activity levels for cardiovascular wellness and fitness. If someone really can't do it, they can't push through the pain, or mechanically they just can't do it, having the joint replacement can really just completely change their entire outlook on life. And I can actually get rid of diabetic meds, hypertension meds, with the added weight loss once we get their activity level back up.
Right. The important thing to realize, though, is people come in and they think, okay, I'm going to have this. I'm going to drive in, have it fixed like a tire change, start the key, and immediately drive off. And there's a very small percentage of patients that are going to be able to do this and get back to a high level of activity in a short period of time. Other patients, the majority, have a lot of issues and a lot of deconditioning ahead of time, and it's not like flipping on a new set of tires, starting the key, and driving 100,000 miles. It is a lot of work to get back to that level to do the activities that you want, specifically sports and exercise and fitness.
And those are goals I think we all need to do a better job as the physicians treating. You know, we need to be better at lining that out to them in advance and saying, this is going to be a journey, and it's going to take a little bit of time, but in the end, you're going to be really happy with the results and the outcomes, and we're going to make you have a higher quality of life. So I think all of us need to take more time and explain that better.
Definitely.
So we're going to be heading into the next segment soon, but I want to circle back around. We kind of left off in the first segment with talking about revisions and how long do joints last. And I definitely want to dive into the redo of joints because, I mean, I think that's where we're getting. These initial joints that people had 5, 10, 15 years ago are wearing out. They're looking for the next latest, greatest redo because they still want to stay. They're young. They're active. We now have 70 and 80-year-olds that are out there doing sports every day, hiking, golfing. When's that next time for the redo? How do you know when you need a redo? And we're going to be leading into that with the next segment. So if you have any questions for Dr. Victor Krebs, I want to remind you, call in. This is a great opportunity to speak to him. He's the vice chair of orthopedic surgery at the Cleveland Clinic. And that number is 602-324-1510. And we'll be coming back after the break talking more about joint replacements, initial joints, and then also revision surgeries. And after the break, also, we're going to talk with Dr. Krebs about some furthermore the complications related to joint surgery.
the bottom of the hour, we pause for a look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
NBC News Radio, I'm David Ushery. President Obama says U.S. air missions, aid deliveries, and further efforts to weaken militants in Iraq will be a long-term project. He also says fighters of the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham have advanced on the northern city of Erbil more rapidly than the U.S. had expected. But U.S. airstrikes are accomplishing their goal.
So far, these strikes have successfully destroyed arms and equipment that ISIL terrorists could have used against Erbil.
Just one day after the end of a temporary truce between Israel and Hamas, cross-border attacks continue with rockets fired from both sides. From Tel Aviv, NBC's Martin Fletcher reports Israel says there is no chance of peace talks while airstrikes are taking place.
Israel has said they won't negotiate under fire. So as long as those rockets come from Gaza, Israel says they will not send their negotiators back to Cairo.
Back at home, eight firefighters who were airlifted to the burn center at University of California, Davis, have been released. They were injured last night while battling a blaze in Mendocino County. That fire has now grown to more than 11 square miles. This is NBC News Radio.
Are you living with pain? I was, after a nasty fall. I got relief with 1 hour pain relief. I'm Barry Yarconi, president, and here's Lisa, a Marine who was injured in Iraq.
After surviving an explosion, I was on horrible painkillers for lingering head, shoulder, back, and knee pain. But I hated the dangers and side effects. My friend told me about 1 hour pain relief, and now I'm off the drugs.
1 hour pain relief is the result of 15 years of research on an amazing extract from hops, the plant used to flavor beer.
Whether your pain is from an injury or just aging, you get safe, all-day relief in less than 1 hour.
Get a free one-week trial for just the small shipping charge. Call 800-500-1081 right now, or visit onehourpainrelief.com. There's no gimmicks, no obligation, no automatic shipments. Stop living with pain. Call 800-500-1081 or visit onehourpainrelief.com. That's 800-500-1081 or onehourpainrelief.com.
Your health care, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the show, call 602-324-1510 or outside the Phoenix area, 1-800-293-5366. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Money Radio. We're here in the studio with Dr. Victor Krebs, who is talking about joint replacements and, in fact, joint revisions and what we can expect. So at this stage, you've had your joint replacement. And what can you expect as far as how quickly are you coming back? What activities can you do in the week or two following surgery? And then ultimately, I'd like to ask you, you know, what sports you can get back to and what probably should be avoided.
Okay.
I think we have a caller. Do you want to take the call?
We do, yeah. He'll have to hold that thought for a second. We have on the line.
You.
We have on the line Claire from Phoenix. You have a question for Dr. Krebs?
You know, I have a question as well as a statement. I'm 4 weeks out now, just barely 4 weeks out now, from my second knee replacement. It's a partial replacement. My left knee was replaced partially about a year and a half ago, and I've just recently had the right knee partially replaced. My statement is, when you have any kind of surgery, no matter what it is, joint replacement would be a major one, I think the best thing for a person to do is seek out the absolute finest surgeon. I personally think I have the finest. And I say that because of how quickly I'm able to get up, how quickly I'm able to move around, how well I'm walking, the minimal amount of pain, all of that. But is there a way that other people can find that good surgeon without someone advertising all the time? I may have missed that early on because I'm not sure I got into the show quickly.
We haven't actually addressed that. Dr. Krebs, what is your comment on that?
This community here in Phoenix has an outstanding joint replacement surgeon population. And one of the things that I can tell you, you can find doctor ratings. You can go by personal reference of people that have had joint replacements. And it's not uncommon to have people see a number of different surgeons before they have their procedure to figure out who they're the most confident with. And it's absolutely not a problem, and I can tell you that I see people that choose to go to other physicians for whatever reason, and it's your personal level of comfort with that doctor, the reputation that you've heard and sought out from the community that you're in to get that surgeon that does the right job for you. Most of the surgeons that are doing joint replacements are incredibly well trained in this day and age. The implants are very, very tuned and, you know, acceptable. And I think that it's really a personal preference and how you're comfortable. So I think you did the right thing, and it sounds like you've got the right guy for the job.
I have a fabulous guy. Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
How do you weigh in on robotic surgery?
I think robotic surgery is actually going to be the wave of the future. I think that a lot of the intricate detail work in joint replacement is going to be done by robots down the road. The robots that we have now are in an early stage, but the procedures that the robot is, helping perform, and that's what they do, they help at this point. It's amazing what the possibilities are. If you look at nationally where our manufacturing has gone, in the past we did manual labor. That manual labor was replaced by robots, and the people were put into a more supervisory role. That same thing is going to happen in surgery over time as we build these systems to do the job better and make it more precise. I don't think we're going to have robots that do the whole procedure, but they're definitely going to be assisting.
Thank you, Claire, for your question. Excellent question. Thank you for calling Money Radio. So back to what I was asking. Claire was one of the lucky people. She recovered very quickly, right? 2 to 3 weeks, she's back on her feet and pretty functional. But what can patients expect? What is a general average for time to, you know, to be able to get back to walking, driving the car maybe? And then further down the road, what sports can they expect to get back to and what should maybe be avoided?
The procedure you have will determine how quickly you get back. She talked about partial knee replacements, and because that surgery is not as invasive, people tend to bounce back much more quickly from that. The people that have that procedure have intact anterior and posterior cruciate ligaments, where people that have more severe deforming arthritis are in a different category. So it's going to depend on how bad your arthritis is up front and how deconditioned you are, how quickly you're going to recover. So if you've had your replacement at a time where you still have good muscle function and condition, you're dealing with constant pain, but you're still active and vital, then you're going to do well quickly. If you have severe, long-standing deforming arthritis, have been in and out of a wheelchair using a scooter, I can't tell you that you're going to get up as quickly and be back on your feet, because the muscles that run the joints need to come back online. So there is a very big difference in recovery based on where you start. So that's the most important thing that people need to realize. If you've waited too long, then it's going to take you longer to recover. If you've got a system and a healthcare team that get you in at that time that it's appropriate for you, you're probably going to end up doing better. So that's what I can tell you just off the bat. Now, when you go through a joint replacement, the current regimens that we're using, our program uses a rapid recovery protocol for everyone. And, you know, even if you are debilitated, you're going to stand up the day of surgery when you've had a hip or a knee replacement that's not complicated or, you know, something that was done with bad deformities. So you're going to get up that day. You're going to stand on it. You're going to sit at the bedside. You're going to be up walking with physical therapy the next day. And depending on how you respond to that, I mean, we have people that go home the day after surgery, and then others that take a little bit longer, and it's based on their assessment and their safety level. One of the reasons we can do this now where we couldn't do it in the past is we've really changed our pain management protocols. So when I started doing joint replacements 20 years ago, we were giving people pain pumps, which was new, depot shots of high-dose narcotics, and for the first couple days, people were kind of not with us. Mm-hmm. They were managing pain. Now, when you come in for a joint replacement, we're using regional anesthesia. We're using peripheral nerve blocks, and there's a number of different ones out there. There's femoral nerve blocks, adductor canal blocks. There's intra-articular injections. They first started with what we call cocktails, where we mix different medications together and injected them into the tissues. There's a new medication that is a long-acting, lyophilized local anesthetic that stays in and around the joint for a couple of days that has really changed how you do. So if you don't feel pain the day of surgery, you're going to be able to get up and get your confidence back really quick, and then the pain kind of eases in over the road. Some people claim that they can do painless surgery. I don't truly believe that. This hurts, mm-hmm. but it hurts a lot less now than it did in the past.
And as the surgeon, you're not concerned that this pain control, where, you know, we're getting people up earlier, we're obviously doing a better job, there's no risk to damaging that new joint by getting them moving so quickly?
So the joints that we're putting in, specifically the primary joint replacements, I mean, they're designed to get outstanding initial fixation to bone. And the way that the procedure is done, we're able to get in, and either through cemented or cementless technology, be it a hip or a knee, those implants are very, very stable right out of the operating room. So we wouldn't put people on them if we thought that they were at risk for fracturing. Now, people that have osteoporosis or, you know, bone density issues, we're not going to move them as quickly because their bone's not as stable. But for somebody that's come in and done this procedure before their bone's kind of worn down and gotten thin, you're going to be able to get up and go, and you're going to be able to get up and move. So we wouldn't do it if we didn't have a safety profile behind it. So at this point, with the implants and the technology, you can get up and you can go.
And, you know, that leads into another question, getting up and going and being able to resume normal activities or maybe go back to doing an activity you walked away from 5 years ago because you were starting to have that degenerative arthritis. So what are the activities that you feel are safe and within reason for someone to resume after a total knee or total hip replacement? I'm sure there's some on the list where you say, I just don't recommend you going back and performing this sport.
Well, I'm going to have to start this off kind of with a joke and kind of not a joke, but I tell my patients all that they can't skydive or bungee jump because I think that that's really a bad idea.
It's probably a bad idea for many reasons.
Right, for many reasons, but that came from patients who came back to me and told me that they were skydiving and bungee jumping after I had done a joint replacement.
Did they come back with something broken?
Fortunately, they did not. But the risks involved there are significant. Mm. So I kind of lead into that with people when they ask me what they can do and what they can't do, just to kind of lighten the atmosphere. But impact loading activities after you've healed from your joint replacement are probably not a good idea. And if you're a jogger, I'm not going to recommend that you go out and jog, get back to jogging 10 miles a day. I prefer to recommend low impact activities. I don't have a problem with people playing doubles tennis, back to golf for sure, walking. But avoiding that impact can help maintain the fixation of the joint replacement and the integrity of the joint articulation longer, and it basically keeps it going so that it doesn't wear out. So impact activities are really the area that I tell people to avoid. And I also tell people not to take up something sport-wise that they hadn't done before. So if I have someone that comes in and says, hey, can I go skiing again after my knee replacements? And I say, did you ever ski before? And they say, yeah, I've skied for 35 years. They're going to know what to do with their knee replacements on the ski slopes. They're going to know what to avoid and what causes problems.
And they're going to have muscle memory.
Right. And I get those people, you know, I have no problem with people getting back to skiing with hips or knee replacements, and they do very well at it. But I wouldn't recommend you learning how to ski or snowboard if you'd never done it before. And it's really, you have to take things practically when you're recovering and dealing with a joint replacement long term. The other thing that factors in here is people that have joint replacements usually have arthritis somewhere else. So if you have a worn out hip and a worn out knee that get replaced and you have spine arthritis or spinal stenosis, some of those activities are probably not a good idea for you because of that and not because of the hip or the knee. So you have to look at the big picture.
Good point. Does having the joint replacement, so you get new knees or you get a new hip, do you find that it begets the next joint surgery? Does it throw you off enough to where you start to wear and tear on the old joints? I mean, does it make a difference? Should you look at getting bilateral knees?
That's an interesting topic. When I first started into practice, bilateral knees was a very, very, very common procedure. And that has kind of fallen out of favor because of the safety profile and usually just the simple need for blood transfusion, which is something that we can talk about after the break.
Absolutely. So we're going to come back after the break to Doctor Talk with Dr. Victor Krebs from the Cleveland Clinic. How much is your health worth? At Consolari Personal Physician Services, we offer an alternative to the traditional business model of the medical practice. Hi, I'm Dr. Carrie Bordinko, and I'm a personal physician and board-certified internist. And I've chosen to build my practice around only working with a limited number of patients so that I get to know you on a personal basis and understand your unique health needs. It's like having a physician in the family. Consolari is a private health advisor that is not tied to a single medical institution or network of doctors. So we truly have an unbiased approach to working for you and addressing your most important medical needs. Go to ConsolariMD.com to learn more about us. That's ConsolariMD.com. Our dedication to you and your health is what sets us apart from any other healthcare provider you will ever experience. That is the Consolari difference.
Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600 for an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the show, call 602-324-1510 or outside the Phoenix area, 1-800-293-5366. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. It's Dr. Carrie Bordinko, and I'm in the studio with Dr. Belinda Barclay White and also Dr. Victor Krebs of the Cleveland Clinic. We left the last segment asking a question about getting multiple joint replacements at the same time. The most common one that you hear about is bilateral knees, because usually if one wears out, the other one's not too far behind. And Dr. Krebs was just starting to enlighten us as to if that's a good or bad idea.
When you're looking at multiple joint replacements, in my practice, you're not going to do a hip and a knee in the same person at the same time. That's just not something that we do, because the recovery from both is difficult when you do them together. Bilateral knee replacements, as I mentioned before, is something that we did a lot of in the past. And then we started looking closely at the data. And what we saw is that people that had bilateral knees actually didn't put twice as much stress on their system. It was more than that. So if you have health issues and we do both of your knees, there's a good chance that your other medical problems are going to get worse. So that's one thing we worry about. The other is when you do two knees, the blood loss that occurs during and after the procedure is significant enough that a lot of people would require banked blood transfusions, which can lead to other problems and difficulties in recovery and in the long run.
And I know, Dr. Krebs, that at the Cleveland Clinic you have a pretty aggressive blood conservation program that you use for all patients, not just those who prefer not to have transfusions. And we're going to get more details on that from you, but right now we'd like to take a call from one of our listeners, Tom from Glendale. What's your question for Dr. Krebs?
Well, I have had both of my knees, actually hips, replaced in 1998, and I'm doing well with them. But I have spondylitis of the spine now. I was wondering, is there any therapy for spondylitis of the spine?
There is definitely therapy that can be done, and there is what I call the tune-up programs, where you make sure that your hips are good on x-ray. So you had these done in 1998. They need follow-up. Someone needs to look at a film and make sure that there's no wear or tear going on in the joints, because I think they have a few miles on them. And like I said before, everything's connected. The spine is also a problem. And if you end up with spinal stenosis, spondylitis, and pain in the low back, the best place to start is physical therapy, working on core strength, losing weight. If you're carrying weight in the front, that's not helping your back. And you start working along those lines. If that's not successful in getting you back on your feet and allowing you to use your new hips and your knees, then I'm sure there are some great pain management groups here in Phoenix that can do epidural steroid injections and, you know, all the way up to evaluation for potential decompressions and fusions as needed. But there's a lot that needs to be done before you'd ever talk about a back surgery.
Absolutely. So, Tom.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm looking for some therapies that I don't have to have back surgery.
Tom, as a primary care doc, I think I would circle back around on this and just redirect this back to your main provider. Once again, you've got a few miles on the hips. There's no doubt about that. And that may be contributing to your back pain. But have you sat down and talked to your primary doctor about this problem?
Actually, I haven't. But I did go to a chiropractor who's practicing Pettibone therapy, and he looked at x-rays and he said his therapy would not work on me because I had spondylitis.
Well, I really, really encourage you, as somebody who sees a lot of patients, treats a lot of back pain, to circle back around to your primary care. Have them do the x-rays, have them sit down and really do a good physical exam and assess if is, you know, your issue coming from your back? Is it something really coming out of the hip joint? And work on a game plan with them, because they would be a great reference and resource to get you plugged into the appropriate physical therapy and avoid surgery, because that's what you want to do.
It's definitely coming from the back, because you can see on the x-ray with the vertebra come together, there is a buildup of calcium between the vertebra, and that's what spondylitis is, I've been told.
Yeah, but once again, surgery may not be the answer to that, so you need to be evaluated, probably physiotherapy.
I'm looking for other therapy, and he told me about PT and core strength.
Yes, and, you know, exactly, kind of like, and that is probably where you should start. So thank you very much for your question.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you calling in. So, Dr. Krebs, back to our question, blood conservation in using more, I guess, probably more geared towards knees. I think you lose a little bit more blood with them than you do hips. But, you know, overall, nobody wants to get a transfusion. There are risks, even though we do a really good job of minimizing those risks with today's blood banking technology. But it's something you do on every patient.
Yeah. When someone comes into our practice with any of the surgeons, we actually start a preoperative evaluation to optimize their blood levels. So if you go into surgery with a high blood level, the likelihood of getting a transfusion is significantly lower. And then we use a number of different techniques, mechanical, surgical, and pharmacologic during the procedure to actually keep blood loss to a minimum. So over the last 15 years, I've seen a huge shift in the number of people who actually get transfused. And most people right now with primary joint replacements, so the first time hip and knee, are not going to need to get blood, and it's not going to be a huge worry, where in the past it was. So that's improved significantly, and we have a lot of new techniques that will keep you from getting banked blood.
I think that would be everybody's goal.
Absolutely.
So I want to jump. We only have a few minutes left on the show, and I want to jump over to another topic, which is getting the second joint. You said this was a primary surgery we were discussing, and we've talked about total joint replacement, and I want to jump over to joint revision. So I'm a jogger. I've been jogging 10 years. I'm jogging on two artificial hips. Not really, but I'm giving a scenario here. And what are the, you know, when do I say I think I've worn these out? Outside of pain, I think pain's a trigger for everyone. We all know that means I should probably go call my doctor and figure out what's going on. But is there any other warning signs that you've worn through your replacement? It's time to start looking for a joint revision specialist.
I mean, initially after you have a joint replacement, there's a follow-up protocol that we have set in place. So we get people through it, we follow them up for a year, and then after that we go into a surveillance mode where we see people every 5 years and we get an x-ray. So I think that an x-ray will give us information if the implant's wearing, if the bearing surface or the plastic is wearing, and that'll tell us, you know, where we stand in terms of needing a revision for a hip or for a knee. The other is pain. If you've had a joint replacement, one, that never felt good, or a joint replacement that felt good and then started to feel bad, that's when you need to be evaluated, because the earlier you catch it before bone loss occurs or true implant failure occurs, you're going to end up with a better result from the redo. Some people only need a simple bearing change. Other people need all the parts changed. So it really depends on what's there, what's left, and what's happened to cause the joint not to function. But if your joint replacement isn't working, that's when you need to have it looked at.
And I don't think a lot of people understood that, you know, it could be a partial replacement. I mean, I like how you said the bearing not necessarily taking out the entire prior joint. So that's all the time we have with Dr. Victor Krebs from the Cleveland Clinic today. We thank you so much for joining Dr. Talk Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 a.m., 99.3 FM. And next week, we hope you'll make some time on your Saturday to listen to us as well. We have Dr. Michael Fitzmaurice from the Fitzmaurice Hand Institute here in Scottsdale, Arizona, who will be talking about hand osteoarthritis. Thanks so much for joining.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Doctor Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Few people know truly how to handle their finance perfectly. That's why millions of dollars and time are spent each year on books and reading financial advice columns. But are the so-called experts giving the right advice for you? You have a lot invested in your financial future. Join certified financial planner Nancy Fleming and Money Radio's Ken Morgan for My Smart Retirement this Saturday morning at 8, right here on Money Radio 1510 AM and 99.3 FM.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Money is what we talk about. We're Money Radio 1510, KFNN Mesa Phoenix, and 99.3 FM K257.